Couple of quick plugs before we start today's show. If you want to follow us on Twitter, our handle is @NarbosPodcast. If you want to email us, our email address is narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. Hit us up with your comments on future episodes of Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High. And if you want to be on a future episode, let us know as well, and we'll try to set something up. You can also follow our show on all of the podcast platforms, including iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. So please give us a follow and subscribe on any of those sites, and you will be able to get us pushed to you every single week. The theme music for this show is brought to you by a band called Ew, You're a Girl and Girls Suck. They are a punk band from here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And their Bandcamp page is iagags.bandcamp.com. That's iagags.bandcamp.com. They used to watch Degrassi episodes when they took breaks from recording back in the 90s. Anyways, that's about it for the plugs. Let's get to this week's episode.
Ew! VIP does not stand for vastly icky poser. What are you doing here?
It's my boy Mickey right there. Hey, you work security on the movie. Oh, I saw your little girl-on-girl PDA. Is that why you dumped me?
Right. It had nothing to do with you hooking up with every skank in the ravine.
Ah, and you're trying to get back at me by hooking up with every skank here.
You do not call her that. Ever. Oh boy, it's another Kevin Smith episode, and as you can imagine, we are so excited about that here on your favorite Degrassi podcast, Narbos and Broomheads. It's Lexicon of Love Part 1, and I'm sure this episode won't be cringy at all. Mm-hmm. So, who else is here tonight, ready for some hot lesbian action? Let's go to Toronto.
Fuck. Mother, fuck. Noich. Yep. Back again. I'm Alan. Slip of the Five Eyes or Slip. And yes, we've got Kevin Smith, he does enough in this episode to make me cringe, but I was like, he wasn't as bad as he was in the finale of season 4, but then I forgot there's a whole other episode, so we'll see where that goes. So, looking forward to talking about it. Let's head over to Ted.
Oh, sir, there's too many swears in that right now, okay? Oh, just relax. Okay, that was just me playing Kevin Smith in this whole episode to one Jason Mewes, I believe. Anyways, hello, my name's Ted. I'm not Kevin Smith, nor am I Jason Mewes, but I am Teddy. So, hello, everyone. Welcome, Brack. And who do we have up the road? Would you be the Jason Mewes or the Kevin Smith Barry?
I don't know. All I know it is you, listeners, who are the ball lickers.
Hey-o.
I've always felt that way.
A winner is you.
A winner is you, that's right. Yeah, no, I'm Barry. I'm not sure if I'm Kevin Smith or Jason Mewes in the Ted and Barry outfit, but we'll figure that out.
Yeah, we'll get back to you at the end of the episode.
Well, and I forgot to introduce myself. I am Arlo, of course, from Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and I will be hosting this delightful episode.
so excited.
So much delight.
So I guess we could just jump in if everybody's mm-hmm. ready.
Oh, I'm ready.
All right, so this is part 1, Lexicon of Love, season 5, episode 11. And it gets its title from, I believe, an album this time, not a song. Correct me if I'm wrong.
A great album, yes.
Lexicon of Love, released by new wave band ABC.
And you know what the best song on this album is, right? And I wish I didn't have COVID, I could probably do it better, but... Shoot a poison arrow through my heart. Yeah. It's a great song.
It's ABC.
Yeah, I know, right?
On the podcast.
Hello.
Oi, oi.
Oi. I don't know what anyone from ABC sounds like, and I don't know how to do an accent, so I'm going to shut up now.
Hello, I'm from 1980s. What's a podcast? What's all this in? Okay.
Oh, it's a jolly holiday with Mary. Oh,
I know little to nothing about this band and this album. I think they were much more popular in the UK.
You may know Poison Arrow. I'm not, like, if you heard it. And you would know Tears Are Not Enough, possibly. That is not the...
not the
Tears Are Not Enough. Every day goes by. I think it's what Ted sang once and made me laugh out loud.
Well, they also have a song called Look of Love, which I was vaguely familiar to me. And it's their most listened to song on Spotify is that one.
That's the
and
look. That's the look.
Of course, all
the
of those
look
are all
of love. Out. Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
But yeah, I probably could not have told you who sang any of those songs before today. I listened to them.
Yeah. When Smokey Sings is another one. Be Near Me is a good track too, actually. Actually, Be Near Me, if you haven't heard it, or I'm sure, again, you've heard it, but if you haven't listened to Be Near Me in a while, it's their best song. It's great. Go and hear it.
Again, I don't know much about the band. Does ABC stand for anything?
Another bad creation. Just kidding.
Yes.
No, that was another band, everybody. No, I didn't actually look up why they're called ABC. I will if I ever do a Super Hits podcast episode on them, but I do not know. I'm assuming that they just were like, it's a cool name. I don't know.
Oh, what's all this then? A game?
Yeah.
These two episodes here, this is a two-parter, it did air as a full hour on some networks. The original air date in Canada was November 28th, 2005, and U.S. air date was April 7th, 2006. Writers for this one are Sean Raycraft and Kate Miles Melville, and our old friend Phil Earnshaw is the director of this one.
Welcome back, hey. Phil.
So we open on Jay outside of Degrassi, of course. He's there.
Yeah, he's just at the school. That he's expelled from.
Constantly. All the time. You think somebody would have called the cops by now. Like, he's expelled. So there is some kind of press conference happening with Tanya Kim, who is a real entertainment reporter, by the way. She got her start on Much Music. And she's interviewing Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes on the steps of Degrassi. And Jay approaches Alex, who they have suddenly started coding and makeup for this episode. He says he has two tickets to the big premiere, and he invites her to go with him, and she promptly blows him off. He indicates that he wants to get back together with her, but she tells him that she's going to the premiere with Paige.
So I'm a little bit confused here, because this is the premiere. You're going to see that they do a red carpet walk and all that business. At the start of this season, when Manny introduces herself to Peter, Peter says, "You're the actress from the Kevin Smith film." Which, at the time, I was like, I remember specifically being like, did they release this and have it go through the theaters in the summer? Like, right after they recorded that episode, because that's what that would indicate. But supposedly now it's debuting for the first time. So I don't know.
Maybe he just heard about it.
Could be.
Surprised that Paige, quote, the queen of Degrassi, is friends with Alex, quote, the queen of the trailer park. And Alex says she prefers to be the queen of Don't Need Jay.
Damn.
Oh snap.
Zing. And Jay to go watch the press conference. And then we get a little bit of Kevin and Jay being, quote, funny.
Yeah, well, Jay says that Kevin Smith chose Toronto to premiere the movie because of poutine, and he makes his choices because of food, because Kevin Smith is fat.
So cue the happy theme music and the moaning.
Horny. Sorry.
Thank you, Stacy. Now I can't not hear it and go, oh, the song again. No.
Well, the theme changes next season, so you won't have to suffer too much longer.
Uh-huh. Ooh, spoiler.
It's very 90210-like.
So we are still at the press conference, and Manny is saying she can't believe Kevin Smith is right there on the steps of the school being interviewed. And I'm like, you were in the movie.
Yeah. You were the star of the movie.
Stage in your underwear last year. Why are you...
Jason Mewes wanted to fuck you in the movie, and you got stripped down to your undies, fell into Kevin Smith's arms, and were the reason that Kevin Smith decided to shoot the movie there in Toronto at Degrassi.
But I can't believe he's here being interviewed.
Uh-huh.
Me stupid.
Craig and Paige and Hazel are all excited about the premiere. Craig is talking about getting a limo, and Alex walks up. She has the expectation that she'll be joining them, but everybody starts acting awkward. Paige reveals that she only got two tickets and she is taking Hazel instead of Alex.
Speaking of awkward groups, how are Manny and Paige just hanging out?
They're best friends now.
Right? Like, when last we saw them together, they kind of came to a truce, but they weren't friends, and now they're just, like, in a group together.
Besties.
Yeah.
Degrassi logic.
Pissed at Paige, and she leaves. And after she leaves, Hazel insults Alex and calls her a skank and Paige's pet project. And so Paige gets pissed at Hazel, and she indicates to them all that she won't be attending the premiere with them anymore.
So, and they're all very happy about that.
Yeah, and Alexa says something that I could really relate with. She said, I wanted to go to a Hollywood premiere once in my life, so crucify me. And I'm like, preach, sister. I know what you're talking about. I'm there with you. How many times have I said that? All I want to do is go to a premiere. Ugh. Yeah, I'm with her. I'm down.
But yeah, Paige runs after Alex. Alex is pissed that Paige invited her to the premiere and then backtracked. And Paige makes sort of some feeble excuses. And Alex, you know, says that she just wanted to go to the premiere and storms off. And then we get to Peter and Emma. Oh, boy.
Get your mouth bags.
Yeah. So Peter and Emma are sneaking around the library. Peter has tickets to the premiere and wants Emma to go with him. Emma's already going with Snake, because basically every single person on Earth has tickets to this premiere.
Yeah. Hmm? Except for Alex.
Yeah. 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 Anyway, Peter is disgusting, and Emma's a bitch, blah, blah, blah. They're both very-
I love it too. Peter says, come on, grab a book. Make look, you're grabbing a book to make it look inconspicuous. And there's one row of books. They're talking through each other through this book. I mean, it looks more
conspicuous, like
conspicuous, yeah.
Ugh. So yes, they will have to hide their love. So then we cut to Miss Hatzilassus talking to Kevin and Jason Mewes, introducing them to Snake, and Snake is fanboying. And I'm actually surprised that Snake hasn't met Kevin Smith yet. Like, wasn't every person on the show like on the set?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
For another, but anyway. Paige approaches Kevin, and he doesn't remember her name. He calls her Paige Michaelton.
Yes.
Yep, great.
And Paige asks him for another ticket to the premiere, and Kevin Smith takes one out of his jacket, and we get some, quote, funny, unquote, banter about Canadians saying a boot.
Uh-huh. Like
making them say it.
Yeah, like she's a fucking circus clown. He's like, say a boot, say a boot. He's waving the ticket in her face. Though I will say this to give one little bit of credit to the scene. They say that they referred to her as the broken leg girl during the shoot, and then she refers to her legs as gams, and he actually calls her out on it. He's like, kind of fucking kid uses the term gams? Who the fuck are you? So.
Gam girl.
Like, finally. Yeah.
So he gives her the ticket. Yes. Then we see Paige's part ended up on the cutting room floor. And Kevin tries to reassure her that it happens all the time, and that when he was doing Jersey Girl, he cut Jason Mewes out of half the movie. And then he says he wanted to cut Ben Affleck entirely out of the movie, which is funny, I guess, because Ben Affleck was the main character. And Paige says she never saw Jersey Girl, and everyone at home said same.
I mean, again, they write this under the assumption that every, like, Kevin Smith is a celebrity. I know a lot about his career. I understand all the references. But he's not like Steven Spielberg. He's not.
No.
Right? Like, no. So when he's making reference to Jersey Girl, most viewers are like, what the fuck is Jersey Girl? Oh, I cut this stuff out of Jersey Girl. Who gives a fuck? I don't get this.
Arguably one of his lesser seen movies, right? Like,
Jersey Girl was kind of famous for being like a flop.
Yeah.
Because it was his first movie that was outside of what was known as the Viewisk universe.
Yeah.
And no one gave a fuck about it.
It was also at the height of like Bennifer, and people were like over Ben Affleck at that point, like just oversaturated.
Yeah.
Also, when she's looking for a ticket, I don't know if we're there yet, but Kevin Smith says, "Working me hard, just like a woman." You go, "Oh, it's a child, actually." I was like, "I was a kid. You're in high school." So, sorry, buddy.
Charming. We get to the computer lab, and did you guys hear the cute little conversation that Craig, Marco, and Hazel are having as Paige walks in?
No.
They're like discussing, just sort of like background noise, they're discussing who's going to be at the premiere. And, you know, Craig's like, who's all going to be at the premiere? And Marco says that everyone's going to be there. And Craig wonders if Alanis is going to be there. And Marco says, oh, that's so ironic.
Oh, damn.
Cute little Easter egg. I enjoyed it.
That's a joke everybody can enjoy. I know I did.
So Paige approaches Alex and gives her the ticket. And she tells her that because she got cut from the movie, she's not going. And Alex convinces her that they're going to the premiere and they are going to look hot.
We're going to make all the adults want to bang us.
Bit.
Mm-hmm.
We get to the premiere on the red carpet and we get kind of a banger playing. It's Dirty by Rocket Feet, if you're curious. And everyone is there on the red carpet because every person on Earth has a ticket to this thing. So we get Marco and Hazel and Manny arriving in their limo. Strangely, no Craig with this group. Ellie and Jimmy arrive together. And Alex and Paige arrive in a cab looking hot.
Is that you or is that the episode speaking?
It's their intention. Their intention was.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Their intention.
One of the comments that's on the show was that I expected more out of the outfits for Alex and Paige at the premiere.
Literally, I was waiting for it.
Yeah, like, why weren't they naked? Why weren't they wearing pasties? Like, come on.
There's a wind machine blowing their hair around in slow-mo. They walk by Kevin and Jake. They make creepy comments about hot high school girls.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Totally oogling, like... Like the wolf with the in the cartoon with the tongue rolling out of her mouth.
Jay's
and
just like,
going and their eyes popping out. They might as well be that.
Yeah, Jay's like, that high school girl gives me a boner that could cut glass. Like, it's gross.
I mean, he might as well have said that, right? Mm-hmm. If we were in an actual Kevin Smith movie, that's what he would have said.
Yep.
So, in the theater, Toby and Liberty are there. Yeah. It's just naked. And again, everyone and their dog has tickets to this thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No JT, even though he was like the director of the movie or something. Or just...
Emma looks over longingly as Peter sits down across the theater with his mom. And they smile at each other. And then Snake and Ms. Hatzilakis wave and smile to each other as well.
Mm-hmm. Big collar. Too big. Yeah. Collar's too big, Snake. Reel it in, buddy.
Uh-huh.
It's too flat as well. Go to the store. Buy some collar starch. Get that shit like some angles in it. I've said too much. I'm just too angry right now. Go ahead, Arlo. I'm sorry.
So Paige and Alex sit down, and they have sort of a bit of an intimate moment when Alex brushes hair off of Paige's face.
Yeah.
There's no time for that because the movie's starting. And we get to sit through the scene with Alanis as the school principal again that we've already seen. That's hilarious.
And the scene of Jay hitting on Manny in the hallway, which we already saw. And the intro where they're like, Jay and Silent Bob do Canada, eh? Is such terrible graphics. Like,
why do we need
to see that? It's really fucking, like, it's embarrassing how bad it is.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Talk about flash animation. It's really bad.
Everyone in the theater is laughing and enjoying it. And then after the movie, everyone is exiting the theater. Paige says she's going to go home, but Alex convinces her to come to the after party. And there is a lame underage after party.
Mm-hmm.
That has fresh fruit trays.
with no, like, napkins or anything. It's just, I don't know, fuck, fill up your pockets, I guess.
There is an adults only one behind a velvet rope that is VIP only. And we watch Toby and Liberty try to get in. And the bouncer quickly shoots them down. And this bouncer has kind of a prolific acting career playing bouncers.
Ooh, do tell.
Uh-huh.
Look at his IMDb. It's just like a laundry list of roles titled Bouncer, Security Guard, Large Man, North Korean Guard, Bodyguard. And my personal favorite, he was in Scott Pilgrim versus the World, which is one of my favorite movies. And
yes,
billed as Goon in that one.
Nice.
In this one, he's credited as Bouncer, but we do find out later from Jay that his name is Mickey. So speaking of Mickeys, Peter is spiking the punch with a Mickey of vodka.
Nice.
Which, I mean, can we just say that a Mickey of vodka is not enough for?
No.
No.
And also, it's along the threads of, oh, more non-consent. Awesome. You're great.
Yeah,
good
like,
job, buddy.
I can't wait to get the ladies drunk here so that I can try to fuck them, because Peter's disgusting.
Because hijinks. Yeah. And you're like, no, that's not hijinks. Hijinks is our thing, not your thing, Peter. You weirdo.
I guess I should say, for any American or non-Canadian listeners, not necessarily just American, but Mickey is a Canadian slang for sort of one of those little flask-sized bottles of alcohol. Very common.
I don't know, Ted. We always call them flasks here. I never used the term Mickey. I don't
know. 375 milliliters of alcohol would be a flask here in Newfoundland. What would be... Well, we'd call it by the numbers. Like a 26-ounce bottle would be a 26er, and I guess a 40-ouncer would be a 40. But not a 40 like...
Yeah, 40-pounder.
40-pounder, that's right. Yeah.
We definitely call them 40s everywhere that I've ever lived, and like a 2.6.
Okay, wow. 2.6, eh?
Well, the little flask ones, those are Mickey's.
There you
okay,
go.
Because they're, what do you call the little tiny bottles that sometimes come free on a bottle of booze?
A baby bottle of booze.
That's a long walk. Like, give me that baby bottle of booze. You're like, oh, I'm tired after saying that so many syllables.
I need a baby bottle.
Baby bottle.
We should just call it the baby. I just want a baby of.
see the vodka. Confusion that could happen.
Yeah.
Give me a baby.
Yeah, Mickey. Anyway. Emma catches Peter. She tells him to stop because he says that he's only going to use half the bottle, which again, this is not enough alcohol to spike a pump.
No.
And half the bottle is definitely not enough alcohol to spike a pump.
Yes.
But she tells him to stop because she doesn't want him to get detention, because then she won't be able to see him.
Can I say something for this scene? That's all.
Yeah, agree.
Good.
So they agree that they want to sneak around together. They're going to meet in the lobby in 30 minutes. And so Peter leaves. Manny and Craig walk up. And Emma is complimenting them on the movie as she smiles at Peter over their shoulders. She is the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So meanwhile, Paige and Alex act like lesbian strippers to get into the VIP party.
Yes. Yep. Underage lesbian strippers. Boom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, they're assuming that the bouncer, that Mickey will, but he'll buy that she works at a strip club, so she must be overage.
And who has already made his way into the VIP party? The devil himself. There
he is. The devil himself appears out of a... so yeah, yep. They're in the party, they're approached by Jay. Paige turns around and just says, ew.
Yes.
I actually liked when Paige said VIP doesn't stand for vastly icky poser.
So. Yeah, and then
okay, that's not bad.
They had a soundboard there. drops
Jay what he's doing there, and he says that he knows bouncer. And Jay then harasses them about acting like lesbians and accuses Alex of trying to get back at him. He calls Paige a skank. And Alex stands up to him, tells him not to call her that, which seems to impress Paige. And then Alex asks Paige to dance, and they hit the dance floor. Meanwhile, Emma and Peter are sneaking around, making out in the lobby.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yeah. They get interrupted by a guy who's vacuuming, so they go into what they think is the empty theater, and they hear slurping noises.
The air conditioning is all fucking backwards in here. It's just slurping sound. Uh-oh, it's my daddy.
Yeah, they realize that they're not alone, and when they take a peek, they witness Snake making out with Miss Hatzilakis.
And then I wrote, fucking disgusting. I know. So, yep.
Yeah, I thought Miss Hatzilakis had more game.
Yeah.
Than big old
Radage and Snake, eh?
Well, and we've seen her ex-husband, because Peter's dad is, I see, we've seen him, right, in a few scenes, so we will. He's also a piece of work, so
oh yeah, she likes bad boys or what, nerds, I don't know. What does language matter?
So Paige and Alex are grinding on the dance floor. And Kevin and Jay are admiring the hot lesbian action like a couple of creeps.
Ugh. Know that they're underage, because they know that they're students in the gang, but just let them do their little dance.
Yep. And it's pretty grassy. Probably shouldn't be fetishizing teenage lesbians like this, but...
Like, they go all out, right? Like, again, if this was an episode with adults, you'd be like, okay, but like... I keep reminding myself, like, these are kids, and they're surrounded by adults, and there are grown men watching, and they are clearly horny, and they're meant to be horny, and it's supposed to be done where it's, like, funny, and it's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm cringing.
Yeah. It's gross.
Back in the lobby, Emma is contemplating immediately confronting their parents. But Peter convinces her not to. And then she runs away.
Yep.
Problem solved.
Yeah, and she's like, do you know that if they got married, we'd be brother and sister, and then we'd be fucking, and that would be weird?
Like Cruel Intentions, is it? That's the movie?
Yes.
Back at the party, Paige has kicked off her shoes because she's having so much fun. And Paige goes to get some water, and Jay appears out of a puff of smoke.
Ninja-like.
Dun, dun, dun!
approaches Alex and harasses her about the lesbian stuff again. And he says that he'd like to watch. And Alex says that she likes to punch.
Yes.
Jay seems angry that Alex and Paige are getting so much attention. And he tells Alex that tonight's not all about her. And she says he's right. It's all about Paige.
Sorry.
Paige returns, and Alex says that she'll walk her home. And for some reason, they leave Paige's shoes, which makes no sense at all.
Fuck. You walk home in your bare feet.
But show got a show, I guess, because it gives them a reason to stop at Alex's house.
Mm-hmm.
Question mark.
There's a million better reasons than that. Then let's walk home. How far away are they from their house? Like, walking in bare feet is not a pleasant thing, especially the streets of Toronto.
I mean, it would have taken them 2 seconds to grab her shoes. I really don't get it. But yes, we need a reason to stop at Alex's house. And then at Alex's house, Paige meets Alex's mom.
So this is drunk mom number 3 in the Degrassi Hall of Fame. she's nowhere to be found. And then all of a sudden she pops up like the Undertaker, like lying. She's lying down on the couch and she just like raises up and it's like, hello. And she's clearly drunk right there and there. And it's great.
Yeah. And we find out from Alex's mom that Alex talks about Paige a lot at home. And Paige starts talking to Alex's mom. And Alex seems to be a bit uncomfortable with this, and she's trying to hurry them up to leave.
Well, it's Paige can't read the room. Like this lady is clearly drunk. Alex is uncomfortable. You know that Alex's home life is rough, right? Like, she's talked about it. And she's just like, let's stick around and talk. Like,
yeah.
So, really oblivious. Also, we're going to see him later, but Alex's mom makes reference to Chad, who is another pretty amazing character. So,
Dad of the year in contention.
So we're then we get a deleted scene.
Yeah.
Where Emma is standing in the kitchen after she had arrived home, and Manny gets home, and she tells Emma that she left before any of the fun stuff happened. And Emma questions what she means, and Manny tells her that Peter got caught for spiking the punch. But other than that, nothing else really happened. And Emma's just standing there with her bitch face on. So Benny questions, like, what she did now to piss Emma off. She's like, did I borrow too many clothes? Did I not borrow enough clothes? And Emma's like, stop. And Manny's like, why do you hate me? And Emma says that she's just wiped and asked if they can talk in the morning instead.
I mean, we didn't need this scene. I love how she's like, we can talk in the morning instead. And like, I think they share the bed. Like,
well, right? I mean, what this tells us is that Emma is like a horrible person to Manny all the time.
Manny's like, you know what? I'm going to try to reconcile with my dad. Like, fuck this.
I don't need to be. It's fine.
And my dad might literally kill me. So, it's worth the risk.
Presumably this happens before the next scene, which is we're back to Emma still standing in the kitchen. She's crying. And Snake comes home, and she confronts him. And at first, Snake denies it, saying that they were just talking. And Emma says she saw them kiss.
It's like, I was talking with my dick.
Snake calls it a mistake. And he's worried that Emma is going to wake Spike. Emma wants him to give her a reason why he did this.
And he's like, I told you, my dick. Like,
that was in the show.
Yeah.
So Snake just asked her if she's ever done something she wasn't supposed to be doing with someone she wasn't supposed to be with, which obviously makes Emma think of Peter. Obviously, Snake doesn't know that, of course, but we as an audience are like, Emma knows exactly what he's talking about.
Yeah, that's the same. Emma running around with Peter is the same as Snake cheating on his wife in front of his kid. Mm-hmm. Samesies. I also like how Snake is like clearly lying. Like, I don't think that they actually, I think that the writers with the shit that came out of his mouth were like, this is true. And in Degrassi canon, it's true. But I'm like, that's a lie. Where he's like, we just started kissing. This was the first time. Fuck off, dude. Like, no fucking way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get the business in the school parking lot for sure.
Like, yeah. Ask to smell his fingers, Emma. Like,
yeah. I'd say he definitely stopped off at Joey's on the way home to brag. Like, remember that summer?
Yep.
You're, that was me. That, it's my turn now.
Yeah.
It's my turn, Jeremiah.
Yeah.
Like, what?
You're a real Snake fucking swell guy now, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, he should really. I think he owes Joey an apology.
Joey should come. Joey should come over and be like, "Let's talk about what a great school year Snakey Wakey's had." Spends the whole time hanging out with Spike, but fucking Miss H. Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's like, all true.
Yep.
Back.
Snake says he's ashamed, and Emma is undecided whether she will tail Spike or not. And I don't think it's supposed to be this way, but it sounded like a threat to me.
Yeah,
like it's like gonna lord it over Snake for gain. So back at Alex's, Paige, I guess, comes out of the bathroom, maybe? I'm not sure where she was. Alex's mom has since gone to bed. They talk about what a good night it was, and Alex brings up when they were dancing earlier, and Paige says that they were just having fun. We hear yelling from the other room, and Alex's mom and her boyfriend Chad are fighting for some reason. And Alex gets involved and somehow ends up getting knocked into a coffee table and onto the ground.
She takes a bump.
Yeah, yeah, she totally takes a bump. It would remind me of the elbow move you can have if you build up in Double Dragon for the Nintendo. And that's a super powerful move. Like, if you give a back elbow, like, you got to build up experience points. It's probably about 6 hearts out of 7. So anyways, and Chad gives it to Alex and Alex takes it and she takes the bump. Yeah. It's just what I think when I was watching this episode. I don't know about you all, but anyways, moving along.
Sure, that's what Phil Earnshaw said. This is what I want you to do now. Remember Double Dragon?
Remember when you get 6 hearts out of 7 for experience points?
Yeah.
And you can do the back elbow on the abobos?
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I want you to do that. So. Action. So
go.
Well, we will see Chad a few more times before he's gone forever. But yep. This actor also has a long resume of thief and thug roles.
They typecast people on these shows, aren't they?
Yeah.
The
thieves.
So, you know, Alice gets knocked to the ground. Paige is shocked. And we very clearly fade to commercial. So I guess they left Alex's house. They went to Paige's house. And Paige is tending Alex's arm, which is injured. Alex tells Paige that she's, quote, in trouble. And that she doesn't mean about her home life. And she then kisses Paige. And Paige kisses her back for a minute, but then gets freaked out. And she quickly leaves to go sleep on the couch.
And Marco's dad shows up and he's like, I think I like a gay people now.
Ba-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da. Come in a marching band. Come in the mule. Come in. Come in, Louisa. Come in, everybody. Yippa-da-ba-da-ba-da. Yeah. And it's a big party at the end of the show.
And that's all.
We talked a couple episodes ago about stuff coming out of nowhere. Now, I know Paige and Alex have a bit of a budding relationship and they got high together and they worked together, but there was never any indication of Alex being gay or having any kind of attraction to Paige or bi or whatever. Was there? Did I miss something? Or did this come right out of the blue?
A little bit before, although maybe she's like self-hating, but...
No, there was nothing about any Alex desire to even... like. They hang out and stuff. They get along at work. But yes, we did not get any teases of her liking Paige until this episode.
And she's like very like, don't you dare talk to her like that, like super you know, confrontational about it.
Yeah. Also interesting to note, and this is again very typical for television, but we've gone through three seasons of Marco's storyline coming out, including where he's been in a full blown relationship with Dylan. And at no point in any of this relationship did Marco and Dylan kiss the way that Paige and Alex kiss.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yep. A bit fact.
Yep.
Yep.
In fact, Marco's biggest kiss was like a joke kiss with Craig, right?
Yep. Mm.
So, good job.
And then there was the after the effect. What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, I buy that we haven't seen anything from Alex that she had these kind of feelings for Paige. Like, I, you know, you don't, like, maybe you don't have these feelings till you have these feelings. Right.
And she's pretty closed off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, she's a very guarded, very armored character.
Yeah.
Who's, yeah, like, who has been beaten down. And you go, man, well, you don't need to throw that in the mix of, of, you know, if she's living this hard, hard life. And it's like, oh, yeah, also, you know, you like girls. It's like, I don't need another thing. I could at least cover this up, you know.
I do find it interesting. Like, she has absolutely no, like, we don't follow her arc at all. Like, it's not even a part of her character that she was in any way involved in the shooting.
No.
Like, at all.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Like, that's true.
About
wasn't
it,
she kind of the mastermind?
Anything. Like,
she enabled the whole situation. It wasn't the shooting. She was, to be fair, she wasn't part of the shooting. She was part of the prank that dumped the shit all over Rick.
Yeah, yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
Didn't she get the paint or whatever? She was like, I know where to get some.
And she was able to set it up where they could get access to the ceiling in the gym and all that.
Mm-hmm.
She, yeah.
Also, she must have engineered everyone's neck so they couldn't look up to see who the fuck was up there.
Yes.
Dumping a bucket of paint on this kid's head.
Yeah.
Like, what happened? Well, I guess we'll never know.
No, she's just forever absolved of everything that happened there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. Like, never, you know, has absolutely no feelings about it. Absolutely nothing, you know? And, like, here's Spinner, right? He's completely, like, he didn't even say anything. It was Jay that said all the stuff.
Yeah.
And he, like, he just sort of went along with it and didn't say, well, no, Jimmy didn't have anything to do with it. But, like, he didn't, like, it wasn't his idea. Mm. It was Jay that did all that. But, like, we've had, like, what, two seasons now of Spinner being one season now? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Of Spinner, like, it being his entire character arc.
Yeah.
And, like, doesn't even mention it.
It's a 33 and a third guilt for Alex and Jay and Spinner. And only Spinner wears it. It's stupid.
I mean, it's like Jay is expelled. He doesn't seem to mind being expelled.
No, he's like, he's fine. Look at me haircut. I'm like, I'm in the Rolling Stones.
But yeah, Doobie
I do.
Not even a consideration whatsoever in the writer's mind that Alex might have any possible feeling about it at all.
It's
great.
Move on. Tough character, well, too. Maybe she has
Do we see more of her mom, though?
Oh, yeah.
Because you do know I love drunken Degrassi moms.
Yes.
It's kind of a soft spot.
No, we're gonna get quite a bit. In fact, like, there's the whole Alex and her mom and Chad storyline have, like, and it's a while. I believe it's actually not till the end of the next season. But it's got, like, an amazing conclusion.
I don't know if I can last that long, but I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
So what did everybody think about this episode?
Fantastic. No.
I mean, I liked it. It's entertaining. I mean, I wish that I wish that the episode was a little less sexy. Like, I wish I like dealing with the feelings that Alex has for Paige and kind of the conflict about that. I don't think it's necessary to get to that conclusion by like a series of sexy events with a bunch of old men gaping at what's going on.
Very tropey.
Yeah, but otherwise I think it's fine. I liked it.
I mean, I find that cringy. I don't find it completely unrealistic though. Like, I think any young teenage girl who's like at a party at some point recognizes their ability to gobsmack people by kissing your best friend or whatever it is, you know?
Mm.
Like, that happens. And, you know, as much as I don't think it's right for society to be like fetishizing, you know, lipstick lesbians or whatever it is,
it's right up there with the Yoda impression for me. I know we talked about that on the other episode, but that trope of, oh, guys, like, oh, you girls going to town. It just, it's the same irkiness of the Yoda impression. It's like, just don't. It's fine. Just don't, please.
Cringy.
Okay. Yeah, super cringe.
So, kind of, yes.
I will say, like, the Kevin Smith part, at least he wasn't integral to the plot like he was the last time he was on it. Like, he was just more of a background thing.
Unfortunately.
Oh, really?
Well, when I read the plot from the next episode on the Degrassi fandom page, the very first sentence is, Kevin Smith helps a confused Paige come to terms with her sexuality.
Oh, no!
So, yeah.
Perfect. I take that from the record then, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. And the whole Alex storyline, I think they could have, like, I think Tim said this in the last episode or the episode before that, you know, they have 20-odd episodes per season. They could have introduced this a little bit a couple episodes ago instead of just dropping it all in one episode, right? Like, they could have festered this a little bit more.
Well, and again, it's not like we haven't seen Alex and Paige together. Like, they fucking work together, right?
Yeah, exactly. And high together. They could have at least alluded to it once before this episode.
Well, and Alex has given Paige some relationship advice, you know, particularly around the when she was breaking up with Spinner, right? She was like, you don't need someone being a piece of shit to you. But you could have added a little bit in there where you could see, like, a hint that she had some interest, but they didn't. So, whatever.
What do you do?
Sort of brushes the hair out of Paige's face or whatever. Could have sprinkled that in a couple episodes ago, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it was an entertaining episode. It was fine. Do I watch Degrassi to watch high school students go to a film premiere? No, I don't.
That's the only reason I watch.
You've heard it here, folks.
Yeah.
Arlo says no. Alan says yay.
Everything was leading up to this episode. All my Degrassi fandom. Here it is.
We're at the top of the mountain.
All right. Well, that's it. That's all for this week, I guess. Next week, we have the Lexicon of Love Part 2. Can't wait.
Kevin Smith, going to give advice on sexuality.
I'm Arlo. You can follow me on Instagram at ArloeScott. Alan?
Alan, slip with five eyes or slip. Follow this podcast on Instagram at Narbos and Broomheads Podcast, on Twitter at Narbos Podcast. Email us at narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. Over to you, Ted.
No, I'm only kidding. I'm Ted, a SayWa3 on the Instagram machine, and passing up to my buddy boy, Barry.
Yeah, so again, you can follow me on Twitter at Barry R. Flynn. And one last plug. On August 5th, Ted and I will be attending the Degrassi on the Rock, and we're going to see a screening of the School's Out movie. Joey and Caitlin will be there for a Q&A as well, so we want to ask a question that you, the loyal audience of this podcast, would like us to pose. So if you'd like to send a question suggestion, send it to either of those emails that Alan said before, or you can send me a DM on Twitter, Barry R. Flynn.
Or Ted.
I really stumbled through that. I apologize.
No, you did good. What's our placeholder? What baggage? What kind of chips? Which is like
the placeholder is what kind of chips did Wheels go to get?
They would give us such a confused look. Like they'd be like, "You marks, like what the fuck? Shut up! Like ask a real question." So please,
the number one question is: did you guys like each other in real life?
Yeah, yeah.
Because we would like you to. So please,
time Narbos and Broomheads.
Do you like the grassy?
Do you guys like it'd be like this? I have a few questions. Do you like iPods? Do you like podcasts? Do you like Degrassi podcasts? Have you heard of Narbles and Broomheads? Do you like Ted?
On the Instagram machine.
Yeah. Yeah. Do that.
Please give us something better, folks. You can do it. You can send it to us directly. However you get in contact with us. Through Instagram, whatever. Just send it to us, please. We're dying here because August is coming up.
Good stuff. All right. Thank you so much, listeners, for being with us tonight. We will see you next week.
Peace.
Bye.
See you next time. Brr, beep, 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 baby.
Well, I said I'm George and my love. I was meant to do my homework. But stay up late and dream about Kylan. I won't make the pictures out of my house.
Maybe it would.
I won't walk around the cafe cut. Just to get to call my dreams. Everyone thinks that